There's one verse of scripture that I first want to call upon, and it's in 2nd Epistle to the Corinthians. It's in chapter 4. It's been a verse of scripture that's been before us time and time again, ever since I was asked to serve today. Chapter 4 of 2nd Corinthians, page 1392. And just verse 6. Because it is the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine, who has shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I just want you to bear that scripture in mind, but I want to read two other scriptures. I want to draw from John's Gospel, actually. John's Gospel and chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes in me shall never thirst at any time. And then in chapter 8 of the same book, in chapter 8 and verse 12, again therefore Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. These are the two scriptures that I really want to draw from. I will bring others in. The statement that the Lord makes in chapter 6, I am the bread of life. It's a wonderful statement. It's a wonderful statement. And the statement in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. These are two wonderful statements. I want to draw from these two statements. I want to point out too that in John's Gospel, the Lord uses these statements. He uses the expression, I am the, a number of times throughout the Gospel. And I think it's very interesting. I think there's a lot of teaching in the expression. What the Lord Jesus presents is speaking about himself. What a wonderful person to present, to speak about, you know. I am the bread of life. In chapter 6, it's repeated 4 times, as if to emphasize that that is where you will get food. That is where you will get life, as feeding upon Christ. Feeding upon Christ. In chapter 8, I am the light of the world. It's just once. And then in chapter 9, it's also suggested, it's mentioned, I am the light of the world. When the Lord deals with the blind man, you know. In chapter 10, we've got 4 expressions there by the Lord. I am the door of the sheep. And I am the door. What a wonderful matter to consider. I don't want to draw from that tonight, because I want to save that for tomorrow if the Lord spares us. And he also says in chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And he repeats it, I am the good shepherd. How wonderful are these statements, bringing out the greatness and glory of the person of Christ. You know, I think he's so attractive. And I want each one of our hearts to be attracted to Christ tonight. In reality, in chapter 11, you've got another expression. I am the resurrection and the life. What a wonderful person. In chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then in chapter 15, another 2 expressions of the Lord. I am the true vine and I am the vine. I'm leaving these for another day. For tomorrow, for spared. I just want to draw from this too. I want to draw from the matter of food for life and light. And if I get time, turning to Corinthians, drawing from that scripture in Corinthians that's been before me, the matter of that light and how it's to have its effect, and to bring in the matter of love. I want to bring in the matter of love. You know, light is expressed about 20 times in John's Gospel, the matter of light. The matter of life is expressed about 40 times in John's Gospel, you know. And the matter of love, of course, it's expressed more times in John's Gospel as well. Matter of love. You know, we're living in a world that needs these things. It needs life. It's a world that's in famine state for the soul. The Christian needs food. We need to feed on Christ. We need to find our life in Him. And we need to turn to the Scriptures. We find the Scriptures and the expressions of these things and what's brought out in Christ Himself. So in chapter 6, I am the bread of life. And it says there in verse 35, he that comes to me shall never hunger. Now, I'm encouraged by taking up this thought because of the reading we had in Pernockie on Wednesday night and our reading on Thursday night locally. In Pernockie, they're reading in Genesis. It just started in Genesis, and it's interesting how Adam and Eve were put into the garden, placed into a garden, which was, it says, pleasant to the sight and good for food. And there was the two trees there that are distinguished, aren't they? The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you know, the tree of life, I was going to actually sing number 50, because that speaks about Christ. He's the tree of life, you know. And Adam and Eve, in the midst of the garden, after they'd failed, they tried to cover up their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together, and so on. But they hid themselves, it says in verse 8 of chapter 3, from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. What was there in the midst? The tree of life. The tree of life was there. They hadn't partaken of it. They'd been diverted by the serpent, by the one who's crafty. He's active today, the serpent. You know, he's spoken of in John's Gospel too. He's active. The enemy of our souls is very active. But, you know, the tree's available for food. And, you know, in this expression, he that comes to me, I link that in quite strongly with the expression found in Genesis, where it says, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. In chapter 41 of Genesis, the famine was grievous there, it says, on the whole earth. The whole earth, 7 years. And I just think that in this world, if you try for your soul as a Christian, as a believer, try to find life in this world, where will you find it? Where will you go? To which company of men will you find life in this world? Will you find it at a football match? Will you find it in social circles? Where will you find life? I think you'll find life if you turn to Christ and find life where His people are. Others that are feeding on Christ themselves. That's where you'll find life. You'll find in others that have, as the scripture says there, go to Joseph. If others have found life by turning to Christ and feeding on Him, then that's where you can go. That's where I can go. We can turn to Christ. We can turn to Him as the source, as the one who's provided. You know, the great provision. Joseph was wise. Wisdom marked him. And wisdom marks Christ, doesn't it? And you know, he says here, I am the bread of life. I think it's also interesting, you know, to consider the very first test or the very first temptation Satan used against the Lord Jesus. Was he said to Jesus, speak to this stone that it may become bread. Think of that. You know, the Lord Jesus is the bread of life. But he was here in obedience. He was here to do the pleasure, the good, the will of his Father. It says in chapter 4, the disciples came to the Lord and asked him to eat. And he says, I have food to eat you do not know. And they ask one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? He says, my food is that I should do the will of him that has sent me. Think of that. Think of the work. Think of the will. Think of the food. Think of what was the Lord's objective in his life here, it was to do the will of God. It was to do the will of God and to finish his work in order that we might have life, in order that we might be set free and brought into life as feeding on him, you know. He that believes in me shall never thirst at any time. Further down it says in verse 41, the persons murmured about him, saying, he said, I am the bread which has come down out of heaven. Think of that. That bread has come down out of heaven. Living bread. You know, as I say, we're living in a world which is in famine. In relation to anybody's soul, there's a famine, a great dearth in this world. But you know, we can find food. And I trust there's food tonight for each one of us, for our souls, as I present the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he is as the bread of life. You know, you can feed on him. I think there needs to be with us, of course, a desire for this food. You know, you're not going to want to feed if you're not desiring it. And you know, I think that needs to be promoted, our desire, our exercises to find our life in Christ as feeding upon him. This is the bread that's come down out of heaven. And it says in verse 48, I am the bread of life, once again. And then it immediately goes on in verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. Now, we've been touching that on Thursday night as to the manna. In chapter 16 of Exodus. Wonderful chapter. And I thought it was interesting there when Jehovah says to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Think of that. What a provision. What faithfulness, you know, of God for his earthly people. A constant faithfulness despite their state, despite their constant wandering and turning away. God was faithful. Every day, every single day, that manna was found. God provided it. And every day, and it was brought out in our reading on Thursday night, it's important that we read the scriptures in the morning. We get some manna. We get some food in the morning for our souls. We feed on Christ. Otherwise, we're going to die. If you don't feed, you're going to die. Aren't you? We need food for our souls, for life. We need the manna. We need the daily. And it's food that has come from heaven. You know. It says that, you know, I am the living bread. He says in verse 51, I am the living bread which has come down out of heaven. How wonderful. That bread, that food that's come down out of heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus came here. How wonderful. What a wonderful matter. You know. It's very challenging speaking about these things, you know. It's very challenging. How much am I feeding upon Christ? And you know, it's been said that what you feed on forms you. What you feed on forms you. And I think the more I feed on the Lord Jesus, really, the more I should become like the Lord Jesus, you know. How challenging that is. Am I like the Lord Jesus? Do people look upon myself? Do they see Christ in me? Do they see that features? The features that mark the Lord Jesus? How challenging. I think John's Gospel is one of the most challenging books in the scriptures, you know. The living bread out of heaven. How wonderful. And then it goes on, of course, the bread which I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Life of the world. How any person can be sustained without Christ, I don't think they can. I don't think they can. You can only be sustained as feeding upon the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus goes on there and says some very testing statements. You know, it says in verse 53, unless you shall have eaten the flesh of the Son of Man and drunk his blood, you have no life in yourselves. You know, how are we going to be maintained in life? How, dear believer, how, dear fellow Christian, are you going to be sustained in your Christian life here as having accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? That's a wonderful thing. It's an essential thing, you know. You know, this is, it's often been said,
At a time like this, it's not a gospel preaching, you know. But still, the gospel is essential, you know. It's essential that there's life first. Because without Christ, you've not got life. John is very simple, isn't he? He's very black and white, it's been said of John. He says in his epistle, you know. It says in his epistle, chapter, the first epistle, chapter 5, it says, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. So, this shows that there are persons in this world who have life because they have a link with the Lord Jesus by faith, through repentance. And they therefore have life, you know. But it shows also that there are persons who have not life. How challenging. I trust everyone here has life. I trust everyone here has a personal trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. And has that link which is eternal. Has that link which is eternal. These things, light and life, are very, very closely associated. I think it's interesting. It's always struck me that verse in the beginning of John, verse 4, it's a very, very interesting chapter 1, verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in the footnote it says, this latter is reciprocal. It's a reciprocal proposition, i.e., it can also be read, the light of men was a life. Life. We need to be sustained, dear brethren. And we need to be sustained by feeding on Christ. And we also needed to be guided. We needed to be guided in this world. We need light. Chapter 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. Of course, the Lord Jesus came in to the world as light. It says that in the beginning as well. The light appears in darkness. The darkness apprehended it not. And then it says in verse 9 of chapter 1, the true light was that which, coming into the world, lightens every man. He was in the world. The world had its being through him. The world knew him not. Think of that. Think of when Christ came in. What a wonderful moment that was in the history of this world. When light came into the world. When Christ came in. Light came in. What does it expose? It exposed men's hearts. The men loved darkness. They didn't want to come to the light. But the light has come in. And of course, in a sense, the light has gone out. Because as long as I am in the world, he says, in chapter 9, the other expression there, in verse 5, the Lord Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Because the Lord is not here in the world. But is he? You see, it's very challenging, I think, you know. I'm often puzzled sometimes by these expressions, you know. It's interesting that in Mark's Gospel finishes with the Lord Jesus being taken up into heaven. He was taken up. What a wonderful movement that was. The Lord was taken up into heaven. At the close of Luke's Gospel, you've got the expression that the Lord Jesus was separated from him and was carried up into heaven. Very attractive thought that. How precious Christ is. How precious Christ was to heaven. How precious he was here in this world. How distinctive, how unique Christ is and was when he walked in this scene. You know, the bread of life. The ones, persons that come to him get life. The light of the world. You know, being attracted to him, focused on him. You know. But Matthew, of course, he closes his gospel slightly different from Mark and Luke. Matthew closes the gospel. Just to get it right, we need to read these things. Better to read. He says, behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. That's wonderful, isn't it? It's very attractive that I am with you. What a promise. What a promise. I am with you. You know, John, it's interesting in John because in chapter, I think it's in chapter 13, you get the expression in verse 3 of chapter 13 of John, it says of the Lord Jesus that he came out from God and was going to God. That was his movement, you know. It's interesting it says it that way. It doesn't say he came out from God and was going back to God. I wonder if you've thought about that. You know, he came out from God. He came into this scene. Christ here, lowly man. God himself, but manifest in flesh. Walking through the scene and going to God. He was going to God. Well, maybe touch something of that on the morrow, if we're spared. But another expression I thought that was interesting as well. Yes, in chapter 16 of John's Gospel, and in verse 28, the Lord Jesus speaking there again, he says, I came out from the Father and have come into the world. And then it says again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Go to the Father. And yet, despite of what I've said, John finishes his gospel with the words from the Lord Jesus to Peter, follow thou me. Are you following the Lord? Am I following the Lord? Is he the one that has so attracted and captivated my heart that my life is bound up with him? Is your life bound up with him? You know, Mary was destitute without Christ. Mary was one who loved the Lord so much that she would even be satisfied with his body, his dead body. But you know, the Lord loved Mary. The Lord's a wonderful person. You know, he's so full of life and light and love. Now, I want to just briefly draw from the scripture that did impress me at first in 2 Corinthians, if I can be granted. God spoke, out of darkness that light should shine. Light should shine. I know this is a reference to the gospel preaching, you know. I was struck actually in our concordance in relation to this Bible, this scriptures here. I mentioned it last Lord's Day. I was struck by the fact that the word gospel is mentioned seven times. Seven times. I was puzzled as to that. I thought it would have been mentioned a lot more. But the term glad tidings comes in the scriptures over 100 times. And here's my impression that I want to leave with you in relation to this. That I think the gospel is at the centre, we might say, the necessity and the essence for you, for your salvation. You need the gospel. You need that repentance and faith that you might have life and a link with Christ. And that's preached, the gospel's preached, the message is preached urgently to men that they may turn, as Paul says in Acts, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might have life. The gospel preaching and a link with Christ is at the centre. But I think the glad tidings is an expanse on that. I think the glad tidings contains the gospel, but it enlarges it so that our appreciation of Christ is vastly increased. Because the glad tidings presents so much more, we might say, than just the nugget of the gospel. We might say the centre, an important matter, you know, because the glad tidings brings in so many more features. But you know, I think the glad tidings, largely contained in the New Testament, can be expanded again to the Word of God. The Word of God brings in, we might say, all God's thoughts, all God's dealings, all God's speaking with men. You know. And of course, Hebrews tells us that he's spoken in many ways formally to the fathers, but lastly spoken in person of Son. You know, how wonderful has been the divine speaking, you know. How wonderful. Now, I'm just going to draw aside to something very practical for a moment, just for your consideration. And I've just been thinking about this. It's a scientific thought. Not that I'm a scientist in any way. You've probably heard the term photosynthesis. And if you take, for example, trees and plants, what you have with a tree and a plant, it draws things and emits things. And I'm just wondering if I can use the example of you and I as a believer in the Lord Jesus. If we're drawing from Christ, the light, if we're also drawing from the resource of the Spirit, as the water, the plant needs these things. But what else does it take in? What else does a plant take in? Well, it takes in something that men are very concerned with in this world. Carbon dioxide. They're worried about the planet. They're worried about the climate. They're worried about things, you know. But the plants take in carbon dioxide. Where does the carbon dioxide come from? Well, it's emitted from you and me. As we speak, carbon dioxide, we take in oxygen. We take in oxygen and we emit carbon dioxide. So the plant gives out oxygen, but it also gives out fruit, or what's termed in a broad way, sugars. What would be for life? What would be for life? You know, and I just take that to myself. If I'm drawing from Christ, if I'm drawing from the Spirit, and I'm drawing from my fellow believers, my fellow saints, I take in things that their impressions help me. Then I can give things. I can give out, you know. And what marks a plant, what should mark the believer, is life. Life. You know, there's two Psalms that are very interesting. One of them, I think, is Psalm 52. The chief musician David says in verse 8 of Psalm 52, "But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God." I wonder if we're like that. I wonder if you and I are like that. I wonder if we're showing an emanating life like a green olive tree. I suppose it speaks of the Spirit there. It's a reference to the Spirit, the olive, you know. And it works for God. At the end of the day, it's for God. It's God that's to get the result, the praise and the glory and the worship. We help one another, but it's in view. And the word comes, Christ is formed in us, but it's for the glory of God. It's for the satisfaction of God. God is looking for something in each one of us. Am I like that? Am I presenting that? Am I living? Am I drawing from Christ? Am I drawing from that source of food, source of light? Another psalm that I thought of was in 92, I think it is. Wonderful expression there. In Psalm 92, "Those that are planted in the house of Jehovah shall flourish in the courts of our God." Verse 14 say, "They are still vigorous in old age. They're full of sap and green." How fine it is to be marked by life, to be marked by sap, to be drawing from Christ, drawing from the Spirit. How essential the Spirit is to our life, to our Christian life, dear hearer. You know, how essential. That's what's distinctive in this dispensation. It's the presence of the Spirit. That's what marks out distinctly the Christian. It's the presence of the Spirit, you know. That's where there's life. Life, you know. How wonderful. How wonderful. These things are so great. I feel I've maybe just not covered enough, possibly, today. But I think that's probably sufficient for us to take in, you know. But just let us be exercised. Exercised that there might be that life in us. That there might be that shining out in us, You know, I was thinking of that again, that scripture in Corinthians, you know. Nature teaches, creation teaches, you know. The sun is there, and it doesn't matter what proceeds on earth, however dark the clouds, and it's a dark world today, morally, that sun still shines. It doesn't change, it hasn't altered. God has set these things, you know. There's no change there. The change maybe is with our appreciation. I think there's a wonderful article I can't remember who it was that said it, but if you look at the sun, what do you see? You just see the light. But if you look away from the sun, what do you see? You see your shadow. You start to become occupied with yourself. Don't look away from the sun. Look to the sun. Look to Christ. Be occupied with him. Don't be occupied with one another's feelings, because there's plenty of that. We all have feelings. Christ is perfect. There's no feeling with him. Be occupied with him. Feed off of him. Get from the scriptures. Be exercised about your soul, you know. Men make great preparation for life and don't prepare in relation to eternity. We have to be exercised to prepare. And to be here. Well, these are just a few thoughts. I'm not sure if I've covered everything that I thought of covering. I did want to mention one thing, of course, in relation to coming back to that matter of the plant and being full of sap and green. The other thing that comes from the sun, it's not just light, it's warmth. It's warmth. We need love, dear brethren. You know, lights can be LED. A lot of lights are changed to LED lights, and you get different terms for them. Some are cool white or cold white. But with the sun, you know, if there's no cloud, if there's nothing in the way, you don't just get the sun, you get heat. You get love. You get warmth. Let us be loving Christians. Let us be believers in the Lord Jesus that present not just light or truth, however accurate that may be, let us show love. Let us show love. You know, the Lord Jesus, time and again, in John's Gospel, tells us, love one another. We need to love one another. There's little love in this world. These things that I've been speaking about tonight, there's little in the world. There's little food, certainly for the soul. There's little life. It's a world that's full of death. There's little light. It's a world of darkness. How awful are the things proceeding in this world? Let us be occupied with another man in another world. But let us also be here as lights that shine for our fellow men round about. Let us show love. The love of God that's been shown to us. Let us express something of that love to our fellow man. Because there's a lot of need in this world. A tremendous need, you know. But these things are simple. May we just be encouraged, dear hearer, to every one of us. May we just take something away from this occasion that helps us on our pathway here, that we might be more truly and fully pleasing the Lord. Because he's looking on. He's looking on. He's looking for something more from each one of us. May we be more committed. May we be more exercised too, to keep in the company of the saints, where the light and the warmth is the greatest area. That's where it's to be, where we get the help is together, where the warmth is. You know, if you have coals and they're burning, put them together and you get a bigger, better glow. Let us show that love as together, that warmth. May we just be encouraged for his name's sake.